The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Shadate Hargett Hill from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. Welcome to another edition of Community Connections. Every month, we'll introduce you to people in the community that are making a difference. We'll also take time out to spotlight one of our volunteers of TRRS.
Community Connections is underwritten by RBR Physical Therapy,
located at 1300 Corporation Parkway, Suite B, Raleigh, North Carolina.
Call 919-917-7729 for an appointment.
For more information, go to www.rbrpt.com.
Today, I'm glad to have in studio Mr. Tim Snyder. He is the founder of Spoken Word Ministries. Spoken Word Ministries is a nonprofit, interdenominational Christian ministry that caters to the needs of those who are blind and visually impaired. Tim, so glad to have you here. How are you doing?
Doing great. Wonderful to be here with you today.
I want you to tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into Spoken Word Ministry.
Okay. Well, I was born prematurely at 6.5 months, and a lot of babies did not survive. So they really did not think I was going to survive. In fact, my mom was a nurse, and the doctor didn't want to pull any punches, so he walks in and he says, "Well, you know he's going to die, don't you?"
Oh, no.
And of course, she said, "Yes, I know." And she cried all day long. And my daddy went out and bought a cemetery plot. Okay. Sure did. But I didn't use it. So God had other plans.
Yes, he did.
I came out of the incubator. But they did know that something was wrong when I didn't reach for the bottle whenever it was present. But I did whenever I touched it. So they took me to the doctor and they said, "Well, we know exactly what's wrong. This child is blind." It was due to they used to call RLF, changed the name of that now, but a lot of infants suffered from that at that time.
Okay.
And so it was damage the back of the eye. Since I'm not a medical doctor, I don't want to try to show my ignorance by explaining it any further.
Right.
But the practical result was I only had just a residual bit of light perception in my left eye.
Okay.
But I'm so thankful I had parents that, while they didn't have a manual of how do you raise a blind child, what they did have was the belief that I could learn and grow and do what other children could do. And what they endeavor to do was to keep me in a safe, healthy environment. And so they did that. But safe doesn't mean restricting the child, being afraid that if the child moved around or did things that they would hurt themselves. And the truth is, all children sometimes hurt themselves. Why? Because that's just what happens when you're growing up and playing. But my parents allowed me to grow, the freedom to grow, and just tried to give me as many experiences as they could. And so I grew up. I went to the Governor Moorhead School, which is the state school for blind children. Many children are now going to the public schools. A lot of the children went to the school for the blind back in those days. In the last 2 years, they had a high school co-op program with Broughton High School. So I went to Broughton in the mornings and then to the Governor Moorhead School in the afternoons and graduated from there. I then went from the Governor Moorhead School to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, where I obtained a Bachelor of Arts in Speech Communication. During my teenage years, I was called into the ministry, and so I responded to that call then after college by going to Duke Divinity School, where I obtained a Master of Divinity degree, and I worked as an associate minister. Well, actually, before I did that, I did my student internship at the First Assembly of God here in Raleigh. And then I went to Torch Trust for the Blind in Hallaton, England, which is about 90 miles or so north of London. And I worked there for about 6.5 months. I returned, worked as an associate minister, once again at First Assembly, for about 18 months. And then I started a ministry called Spoken Word Ministries. Mm. I really did not realize when I went to Torch Trust, I thought that was going to be a short-term mission. And actually, what it was training for what I would really do for my most ministerial career, and that is working as a missionary to those who are blind and visually impaired. So we first started Spoken Word Ministries, the idea that we would provide personal ministry and literature distribution to blind people.
Wow.
And that kind of brings us up to the present.
Should I be calling you Reverend Snyder?
Well, you know, I don't use that term a lot because, you know, Jesus made a point of that. Don't call any man father. And I mean, that term sometimes officially appears. Sometimes I just tell people, call me Brother Tim. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and nobody should be elevated. So while I do use that convention from time to time, that's the way it is in our world.
Yeah.
Don't really make a big deal of that.
Okay. So, well, I'm going to call you Brother Tim.
That's fine. Or Tim.
Yeah, Tim.
You know, I just, whatever you feel comfortable with, that's what you should do. If you call me Mr. Snyder, I might think you're talking about my daddy.
Oh, okay. So no Mr. Snyder. Okay. We're going to go more into your spoken word ministries. You know that we are catered to the blind and print impaired as well.
Yes, indeed.
I knew that we needed to have you on the show to talk about the spoken word ministries because you guys offer so much and you're doing things that coincide with what we do, but also offer things that we don't offer. So tell me more about the spoken word ministries.
Well, we do have a history. We were founded in 1987 and we began our first audio magazine distribution in February of 1988. In fact, we've just completed 30 years of production of the Spoken Word magazine. Our two main areas of ministry now, well, we have special projects, and that is things that come along from time to time that we do. And by the way, I'll say that volume 30, number 12, marks the last issue of the Spoken Word. So if any of your listeners have received the Spoken Word in the past or are receiving it now, that magazine publication is now coming to an end.
Oh, wow.
And so it's sad in a way,
yes.
But it's also means that that chapter has ended. You know, sometimes there are seasons for things,
yeah.
But now we can look forward to the things that are present now. And we just felt the Lord was leading us in that way to bring that to an end, but so we could focus on some of these other things. Now, there are two areas of ministry that I think people might really find an interest in.
Okay.
One of them is called the Interactive Christian Community, and that is simply where people come. It's not a video site, although we do have the possibility of the video technology, but you have to be real careful with that. So right now we are doing audio and looking into limited video, meaning that we want to protect the privacy and of folks. And in other words, we don't want them to accidentally run into any video that would be embarrassing or offensive or anything like that. So We're careful with that. But it's a site where you can join in with other people if you have a computer or if you have an iPhone. Our platform will allow for iPhone usage. And you can participate in Bible studies, times of fellowship where you just informally talk with and get to know people. In the mornings, we have times of prayer where you may want to pray with people or have somebody to pray with you about something. You can come to that. We have a special programs for women only. They don't even let me go to those programs, you know?
Yeah.
But I understand that. Sometimes there's things that women maybe want to talk about,
yes,
or whatever. They don't want the men around.
Absolutely.
So we've got a leader in that does that. We have games. On some Friday night, people will play games. You know, there's a fella named Bob Harrington, and he had a phrase. He said, it's fun being saved.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to let people know. And by the way, you don't have to be a Christian to join the Interactive Christian Community.
Okay.
You do have to respect our code of conduct, though. And so we make that very clear. We want women to feel safe, that men aren't going to come and try to chase them down and speak vulgarly to them or anything like that. It's a safe environment. You know, having said that, if people are willing to live by our code of conduct, we do not say you have to be a Christian to be a part of this.
Mm-hmm.
However, what we do hope is that people will see the Christian witness and realize that it's a wonderful, joyous life to be saved. And to be a Christian, you can have fun, you can just enjoy life, and you can also deal with serious matters and just be a well-rounded person. And so that's what we try to communicate. And so that's why we have both serious things, certainly Christian things and worship times, as well as your fun and your fellowship times. Sunday afternoons, every Sunday at 4:00, we have what's called the ICC Sunday service. And we do that in the afternoon because we want to accommodate some people that don't have a church home, but also those that do but still want to come to our services. You know, they can come to go to their morning service and then still come at 4:00, and the 4:00 service will not also interfere for those who may have evening services. So that's how that has developed.
So that's awesome, the Interactive Christian Community. The website is iccsite.com.
S-I-T-E. ICCSITE, like a website, .com. And so you go on there, and it talks a little bit about it. You know, it says something like, not a member yet. Click on there, and it'll give you the code of conduct. And if you say, well, yeah, I can live with that, I can agree to that. And you click on there, and it gives you a simple registration form that you complete and submit, and then we process your application. You know, there are no, with Braille audio, for example, which we'll talk about, you do have to have visual impairment to qualify. But with ICC sight, you do not. You can be blind or sighted. And that's really what we want. We don't want to be an isolationist blind community.
Right.
We want blind and sighted people to relate together. And we have people from Canada, people, of course, from all over the United States. We have a regular attender from Macedonia who attend our programs. And we also, from time to time, have people from New Zealand and Australia
who attend.
So really, you get to know people from, from all over the world. And it really can expand your horizons. Now, sometimes we have challenges. Anytime you deal with a community like that, you will have challenges. If you say, well, I need to learn how to deal with people that aren't just like me. Well, you come to ICC and you will, because there are, you know, all different types of people, a lot of different personalities. But we do strive to have a good, solid, safe, friendly environment on ICC.
With ICC, you can go on anytime. Is it kind of like a Facebook page, that type of thing?
Well, people are there, you know, you go. In other words, if people aren't logged into the server, you can go on there anytime.
Okay.
But you might be the only one on the server.
Oh, okay.
A lot of people come whenever there is a program. We have one of our workers who sends out from a schedule day. And we also have a weekly schedule at ICCsite.com, so that if you don't want to get on that email list, you can be on the weekly schedule, or you can go up and see the weekly schedule. And then whenever there is a program happening, you just simply go on. There's also the living room, so that's where you go in when you have to install a little piece of software on your computer, if you have a computer, or you have to configure your iPhone. You have to download an app from the App Store for TeamTalk. That's TeamTalk. You're able to join from there. But if all of this, I know this is a lot of information, if you call me at 919-635-1000 and ask for Tim, I will be happy to explain to you how you can become involved.
Are you on ICC often?
Oh, fairly.
Fairly?
Fairly often. I do two programs. You say, what is it like? It's not a lecture. It's really more like a home Bible study.
Oh, wow.
And you get that home Bible study feel. You can get your popcorn and Coke and whatever you want. Just sit back, and I will talk about the passages as we go through them, and then I will give people opportunities to comment. And sometimes we will go down trails and explore things that come up. It may not necessarily be in that verse, but may be related to it. Mm-hmm. So sometimes we may only cover two or three or four verses in the night if we really go down that trail or whatever. We're not worried about having to cover a certain amount of material. What we want people to do is to be able to get in the Word and study and learn and grow and be strong in Christ. So 8 o'clock Eastern time, I'm there on Thursday evenings. Sunday afternoons, most of the time, unless I'm traveling or something, I am conducting the ICC Sunday service. A lot of times I'm in the prayer time. That's in the prayer room at between 8:30 and 9 Eastern, where we pray together. So I am on ICC a good bit, but I don't just camp out there, because I've got a lot of other things to do as well, like Braille audio, for example. Which
yes,
I'm sure we're...
I was looking at your website, and I had some information, and I went on the Braille audio, and the catchphrase, you guys say, where blind people read.
That's right. That's right. And you know, when you're starting something like that, that seems a little bit presumptuous. Mm-hmm. You know, we're building a site, and it says, where blind people read, and nobody's reading yet.
Yeah.
You know, but what we do, I remember something that someone said. It was really a powerful statement, and it was actually talking about a college, which is now a university, but for many, many years, he was the resource development director, and he said, I do not look at where the college is now. I look at what the college can be. And I thought, that is so powerful. You know, and I don't look at where Braille audio is right now, what it is right now. I look at what it can be. Before we look at what it can be, I need to tell you what it is now.
Absolutely.
Well, first, let me spell that for you.
Okay.
It's Braille Audio, BrailleAudio.org. Now, some people get confused. They say, I don't need that service. I don't know Braille. Well, let me explain that. It's a term that I coined to try to describe what it is that we wanted to do.
Okay.
So what Braille Audio is a resource, Christian resource library that contains Braille material. Now, when you talk about Braille material, I know we thought about Braille on paper. More and more, we're talking about electronic Braille.
Mm.
That means just like print can be in a file, like when you've got a document, that's really a print file. Well, you can also have a Braille file. We talk about BRF files, and you Braille readers know exactly what I'm talking about. So we want to provide materials in BRF format, and we want to provide materials in audio format. And we are currently using the 3GP standard, the same that the NLS and your NCLBPH use. That's the audio format they use to produce their books. And so we have produced over 140 books, and they're now loaded on our website. Actually, I think we have 138 audio books and three or so other items. One is we've got another format we call Audio Daisy Teachings. And the idea for that is when somebody has lectures, we can group those lectures so that, say, there's a 15-part series on the divine attributes of God. Well, instead of having a bunch of CDs that you try to shuffle, you can download all those teachings and have that teaching set right in one place. You can jump to the different teachings.
Wow.
So we have prepared these audiobooks. They feel just like when you download a book and you unzip it and put it on your player and you use your navigation buttons to jump through the chapters and so forth. It's the very same feel as our books.
Wow.
And we have purposely tried to make it such. We've also had people who have had their iPhones and they've been able, once they become members, to actually download the books. And when it's in zip format, it'll say on your iPhone, what program do you want to use, you know, to play this file? If you have the Bard Mobile app on your phone, you can actually use the Bard Mobile app to play our books.
Wow.
Because it's that same 3GP Daisy formatted style. There are various religious themes, Christian, fiction, and nonfiction. All of them are Christian books, but they're fiction and nonfiction. Now, we have one program that is going right now and another one that we would like to have going as soon as we can have the volunteers and programming to be able to run it. So let me tell you what those are. First, and you can sign up for either or. So first, when you go on BrailleAudio.org, click on Join, fill out a two-page application registration form. On the form, it talks about Read by Mail. Now, that's the program that we don't have going yet, but we are building our database, our list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we do get it going, we don't want to send it out to two people. We'd like to send it out to two or 300 or 2,000. We're building our list so that when we're able to launch that, we have the mailing list to send it. If you don't check that box, you will automatically, when you qualify, we have to determine that you qualify, then you will be able to download any material that we upload. We put a catalog, in fact, it's a very simple, it says current catalog on our first page, it's just a TXT file, and anyone can access that catalog to see what materials we have. And on a quarterly basis, generally every 3 months approximately, we will update that catalog, and that will contain the new editions as well as the entire catalog.
Now, with this Braille audio, it sounds really amazing. How did the thought of doing this for people come to fruition?
Well, back in 2006, I did take a survey. Being blind myself, I am in touch with what's happening in our blind world and community. And one thing I did ask was, would you like an online Christian library? And close to it may be 100%. You always hate to say that in case you forget somebody.
Yeah.
But I know very close to, and perhaps even 100% said, yes, we'd like an online library. And so we began, but we knew that it was a major undertaking. In fact, a lot of the cassette libraries, or some of them, they had all these books that have already been read, but they did not want to convert. And so that just shows, because it was costly, labor-intensive, and that just shows the challenge. But it just never left my heart and mind that this is something that needed to be done. And finally, I put it before our board, and we decided to commit to it. Now, quite honestly, it would have been a lot easier if we'd had a couple of million dollars. Could have just hired this done, hired that done. When you're starting and you don't have the money, that is really a challenge. What we did have is the call and the desire for blind people to be served. Shay, when you want a book, and if it's not available in the library here, you have a very simple process. You go to interlibrary loan. That book is going to be very likely somewhere in the country. Some school, some university, some public library is going to have it, and you're going to be able to get your hands on it. The problem is when libraries go out of business, if NLS doesn't produce it, and they don't produce a lot of the Christian material because they can't produce everything, they're limited on their budget. But if something has been produced, once it is the tapes are thrown away or destroyed or whatever, access is taken away. There is no interlibrary loan to go to because you don't have an accessible copy. And there is a lot of people, you say, well, go to Amazon, put it on your scanner and scan it. Listen, a lot of people do not have computers. A lot of blind people listening to this program, you may not have a computer. They don't have the way to access the material. And so that's the concern that we have, is making new material available, but also keeping alive the material that people still want to read, that if we just threw it away, that would end the access. Now, if we invite you to apply for Braille Audio membership, you can qualify if you live in the United States and cannot read regular print due to blindness or visual impairment. Now, if you are a member of NLS, like your local North Carolina Library for the Blind and Physically Handicapped, you will qualify for the service. But we have to substantiate that. So when you fill out that two-page application, on page one, you check the box that says, yes, I do want to get the read by mail. And that program's not going yet. What that program will be is where we send out a cartridge or a flash drive. You read the materials that we put on, whatever you want to read. You don't have to read it all, but whatever you want to. And then pop that back in the mail and send it back to us so we can then send you another cartridge on the regular schedule. And we plan to send those out on a quarterly basis. So everyone will get the same material mailed out. It's not a read by request service. It's everyone gets the same material. But if you do not check that, you will have access to the download. On page two, you have to check the box that says you give us information you supply for us to determine that you are eligible. And a lot of people will put their local NLS library, because we can communicate. We've made arrangements with some of the libraries and with NLS to say, is so-and-so a member? We send them an email, and they don't even have to comment on your visual acuity. Just, are they a member? Yes, so-and-so is a member. Then you qualify for the service. If you cannot, you say, I can't fill it out. I need help. Call us at 919-635-1000, and we will help you to complete that application.
Oh, that's a wonderful process. Are there any fees to becoming a member?
Well, you know, people say, does it cost any? Is it free? I said, no, it's not free. It costs a lot. That's why we have donors.
Right.
And we need donors. We need churches, your local churches. We need people to support on a regular basis, on an ongoing basis. But what I do say, it is free to you. If Stevie Wonder applied, we hope he'd give a million or two.
Yes.
And Ronnie Millsap, too, by the way. But you know what? It would be as free to them as it would be to you all. Because, see, we don't want to give people favoritism because of money, but we also don't want them to be cut off because of the lack of money. We don't want money to be an issue to be able to get access to quality Christian reading material. And we just need, you know, we need to have material that we can read. What I'm hoping, too, is that this Braille Audio will be a gateway of ministry, meaning what I'd love to see is groups of people getting together, maybe 8 or 10, and say, why don't we read this book that deals with grief? Why don't we read this book that deals with prayer and talk about it and get together and learn together? I'm hoping that that will happen. That's not something you can make happen, but it's something you can throw out there, and people may say, yeah, let's do that. So you see, there's so many more opportunities ways than just being a library for reading. We're also seeking for blind volunteers that know how to do editing and various things that you can help mm-hmm. as a volunteer. Our Braille Audio Service is available.
We want them to take part in the services that you have, which are the Interactive Christian Community, as well as the Braille Audio. And both of those websites are ICCSITE.com and BRAILLEAUDIO.org.
And I'd like to thank you, Triangle Radio Reading Service, for the services you provide and for allowing us this opportunity to let people know about Spoken Word Ministries and the services we provide through Braille Audio and ICC.
And we thank you, Brother Tim Snyder, for being here with us. We've enjoyed you on Community Connections. Anybody wants to get up with you to find out more information, what number can they call?
919-635-1000. We're in Mount Olive, North Carolina.
All right. Brother Tim Snyder, Spoken Word Ministries, thank you again so much for being here.
Thank you.
It's now time to spotlight the Volunteer of the Month. And this month, we have a wonderful volunteer. Her name is Martha Potter. How are you doing, Martha?
I'm doing fine, thank you.
Great. How did you get started with us?
I had a friend that I worked with, and she had been a volunteer for years here, and it sounded very intriguing to me. Unfortunately, at the time, it was not good timing for me to come in, but I always, in the back of my mind, I remembered about TRRS, and I thought, one day I'm going to do that. So that one day was in the spring of 2015. I reached out and found out that there was a training class coming up in that June. So I've been doing this for about a year and a half now. Just kind of fell in love with the idea and the concept and just an opportunity to kind of hone my voice and get used to doing things live. My projects are usually pre-recorded and I get all my goofs out.
Well, tell me a little bit about what you do besides volunteering with us.
Well, in my job in recent years, I've been developing e-learning for my company. And along the way, I decided to start adding voiceover to my e-learning and got a lot of really good feedback and how it really sort of helped to break up the monotony. It wasn't just a point and click type of e-learning and just really got a lot of really nice compliments for that. And so it kind of spurred on my desire to pursue this maybe as a part-time thing in retirement.
You volunteer for us at nights, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I have a regular shift the second Thursday of the month. If I miss a month, that's too much time between because I find myself getting really nervous with the whole live aspect
yes.
of this role. And I find myself hyperventilating a little bit. So I said, I'd like to be a sub. So now I probably do it maybe, you know, 3 to 4 times a month.
You yeah, know, I've seen your
along
name
with that, so.
A lot now, more than when you first started.
Right.
That's a great thing. It gets you out of your nervousness.
It does.
And so you're a pro at it now, though.
Still start out every time, though. At the beginning, I'm always still a little bit nervous. It's the reading. But there's that kind of butterflies. But
yes.
By the end of it, by I'm doing the life section, I'm really getting into it then, and then it's over.
Yes. Find your flow.
You do.
And then
you
it's
do.
When you're in it, it's like, okay, the show is over.
That's very true.
Yes. Since you are a volunteer here, what would you say to other people about Triangle Radio Reading Service?
Funds that come into this organization go to the programming. This is not a high-end operation here. Everything is, you know, is donated. And the money that comes here is well spent for the audience for which it's intended. There's no palace here.
Palace.
It's all volunteer. I mean, your money is well spent and your time is well spent. And I think the audience really appreciates what the service that this organization provides mm-hmm. to the community.
Martha, I want to say thank you so much for being a volunteer at Triangle Radio Reading Service. And thank you so much for being on Community Connection. And being our Volunteer of the Month.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. The broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, TriangleReadingService.org.
Community Connections is underwritten by RBR Physical Therapy.
Located at 1300 Corporation Parkway, Suite B, Raleigh, North Carolina.
Call 919-917-7777. For an appointment.
For more information, go to www.rbrpt.com.
Limp in
and leap out.
You've been listening to Community Connection. I'm Shadate Hargett Hill. See you next time on the radio.